When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the latest Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm your host, Joe Rimmer, joined today by Paul Gorst. How are we, Paul?
All good, yeah. Yeah, ready to get stuck into a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, which is an unusual time slot for Liverpool, isn't it? So, yeah, all good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, like your shirt and t-shirt. Shirt and t-shirt are the way to go.
Yeah. So, obviously, you know, not overly casual. Formal, but yeah, smart casual. Yeah.
I would say that they are if you're trying to cling on to your youth.
Well, I am. You're certainly not.
No, you have to embrace your age.
Yeah.
Nearly 21 now, so.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just looking forward to getting stuck into my brew, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a good brew, actually. That's
you made
Ian,
it.
Ian Doyle special. Yeah, well done.
No problem.
Right.
Nice. I'm still not happy with my tea ranking.
Well, look, it's just not. You make a good brew, but you don't make them often enough. That's a fact.
It's like Thiago.
Yeah, he's like Thiago. Great segue. I don't want to go there yet, but it's a really good segue. Keep that.
By the way,
mind.
Speaking of brews, you should just turn your mug to promote the Blood Red Monks.
This is great for the listeners. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We are live on YouTube and Facebook, so if you do have a question, I'm going to keep an eye on YouTube. Our producer Ian will keep an eye on Facebook and send them over to me, and we'll try and get them answered as we go on. Yeah, we really appreciate your support. If you're listening, thank you very much. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, hit that bell, and we'll come straight to you. So yeah,
not password.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everyone's just thinking the same thing. Go on.
Well, it's fine. I'm just thanking our listeners. So, thanks very much. I feel like I haven't been on the pod for a while. I feel like I've maybe been in a dark room since last Sunday. It was a tough one, but Liverpool back at it, Paul. But they'll be out without a lot of players, won't they, tomorrow?
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? Klopp mentioned it today in the press conference. I think someone asked him, you know, is it a bit of a luxury having all these players fit again? I don't remember when it was now. There's been that many press conferences. It might have been before the Arsenal game.
Yeah, probably about 2 weeks ago. It feels like it was 15 press conferences.
And he said, it's not a luxury. It's something we just haven't had all season. Now we finally got it for a bit. And then that didn't last long, did it, really? You know, we've just been going through the players. I couldn't believe how many it was. Is it nine in total?
Well, there's a nine definites tomorrow.
And then he hinted that there's the flu going around the squad as well, which is ominous. So whoever that's been, you know, whoever's been impacted by that, we'll find out. And the team sheets drop tomorrow afternoon.
I think it's only fair we should go through that nine because it isn't sales. The nine definites are Salah, Szoboszlai, Thiago, Conor Bradley, Joel Matip, Ben Doke,
Stefan Bešetić.
Canate suspended.
Simikas
is Simikas.
There you go. There's your nine.
Although Simikas, hang on, you say that, but Simikas was training, so he might could be on the bench.
Joe Gomez wasn't training, so
no, he wasn't.
He
could have the old influenza.
Yeah, and then Klopp did say it's in the squad, so that hinted at more than one. So there's going to be.
It's disappointing about obviously Thiago. So I was like, Klopp provided a little bit of an update on him as well. I mean, he sort of suggested that, you know, it was down to Szoboszlai, he'd be fit for next week, but...
I think it was Salah that he meant.
And Szoboszlai as well, But obviously the medical team have a lot of influence these days, don't they? Probably that's just a blanket rule across the Premier League as opposed to being Liverpool-specific. I get the feeling sometimes Klopp would like to ignore their advice or, you know, demands, but... It is what it is, and Salah's out. Obviously, Zabar's like, but Endo is back. That's a big boost, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm-hmm. Trent, I don't think he was 100% at Arsenal, was he? He's had a full week of training to kind of...
2%
at Arsenal. A full week to try and get back.
0.02%.
Towards, anyway, sort of approaching top level. I thought he was clearly struggling last week as well. So, yeah, I mean, Piszczek... Not really sure what's going on with him. He's been absent all season, hasn't he, really, apart from a couple of appearances. It's been like 12 months now, hasn't it, since he was really in the Liverpool team and really starting to make some headway. Simicash, we know about. Robertson, still not 100%, is he, because he's had 3 months out injured. So, yeah, I mean, we've spoken a lot about players coming back and boosts to Liverpool squad, but all of a sudden you're looking at it now thinking they're sort of back where they were a few weeks ago and there's still so many who are out injured. So... probably good time, I'd suggest, to be having a home game against a team who haven't sort of tore her up this season, shall we say, to be fair.
It's I banged on about this in the pod all season, Doyle. It's been the story of the whole season, and I think they have overachieved considering the amount of players that they've had out injured, and I don't think I can remember a single time, and maybe this goes for most Premier League teams, but I can't remember a single time when really Klopp has had a really good squad to pick from. There's always been several major players missing.
Well, both teams have injuries and they always have people that have been out for ages, so that's nothing new there. I think with Liverpool, what's been quite interesting is that unlike some other clubs who've tried to make a bit of a big deal about it, they've just cracked on with it.
Who do you mean there, though?
No, just generally. I'm thinking of...
Newcastle have done that.
Well, Newcastle did they? I mean, United... to be fair, United didn't actually do it themselves, but people around United did it as well earlier the season when they had a few injured. Chelsea, possibly. They had a few injured. Yeah. Of the 953 players that they've bought in the last 6 minutes since this podcast started. So
they still need a striker, though.
They do, yeah. No, actually, you say that, but, you know, they've just won at Villa, so... You know, they're obviously just coming into form. Have they got a big game coming up soon? Chelsea? Hmm. Yeah. What was the question?
Just about the injuries. Yeah. And how they overachieved.
I think, yes. Because I mean, forget any injuries. I think they've overachieved anyway, even if everybody's been fit. Maybe bear in mind where they were last year. So that they've done it with... I mean, some of them have been... You don't have well-timed injuries, but it was just as well that Endo came good when McAllister got injured. Yeah. And then when... Endo had to go off, McAllister came back, that kind of thing. There's been a little bit of that. And they haven't really had any problems up front. And the goalkeeping situation, I mean, I know Alisson missed 3 games, wasn't it, with a hamstring in December, wasn't it? Late November, December. They got through that. And, you know, he's now going to be ruled out for the rest of the season. When I say this, Van Dijk hasn't been injured either. He's the only game he's missed was that Arsenal FA Cup game when he was ill. So, you know, there's been... a couple, you know, certain areas of the team that have been quite durable and they've been able to rely on. I mean, obviously Salah's a big miss, but until the Arsenal game was the first one where you went to, they really missed Salah there. They got through it, but you're always going to miss your best players eventually if they're out for long enough. And I think the sooner he gets back, the better, because then Liverpool will have more options up front and they'll be able to work down that right flank again. Same with Trent being back up to speed. You know, Conor Bradley's done really well when he's come in, but you've got to bear in mind he's only ever played 2 Premier League games his entire career. Which, by the way, he's done well to get nominated for Player of the Month, Premier League Player of the Month. Yeah, he's nominated. Yeah, that's incredible. That's got to be the best impact ever for a Premier League player. But otherwise, I mean, we were speaking about this at the press conference, actually. I think you've wandered out to go and speak to the manager. And we talk about people just, you know, they don't seem to grow properly anymore, do they? You know, Stefan Bocetic, he's... injury due to his growth.
This is
Keith Gordon, injury to his growth.
But
never ever mentioned it as that, though, did they? It was only later down the line that they said it was that. Yeah. So it's just maybe it's just something that has always happened. They've never properly been aware of it. And now that they are, they're being extra careful because they know these people are 18, 19. They've got an entire career ahead of them. Why wreck it a little bit? So that's probably going back. We were talking about Bocetic, why we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
But he did make a slight comeback, didn't he? And Thiago,
I mean, I also think as well, this is to an extent the trade-off of Liverpool playing the way they do and very explosive and dynamic and, you know, all the heavy metal cliches that you like. But ultimately, sometimes you have to accept on the flip side of that some players get muscle injuries as a result. I mean, Salah's was obviously unfortunate in that he's probably out of his very specific Liverpool regimented schedule, wasn't he, when he got injured with Egypt. And that probably something similar happened with Daniel Sturridge all those years ago. So Bosley, he's played a lot of football, so obviously I think a few people were expecting a hamstring to twang at some stage, and so it happened. But, you know, it's I hear loads of kind of criticism of Liverpool's medical department when you see these injuries, but I suppose fans aren't keeping an eye as closely on other clubs as they are of their own. So, you know, other clubs might have players out as well. But I do just think sometimes you're going to get these injuries because of the way Liverpool play.
Yeah, I think, but there's a lot of questions on YouTube here mentioning the medical department. And is it a case, not so much that people are like, oh, what's our medical department doing? But I think in the modern football, they're going to have more influence because they care more perhaps about the welfare of players. Gone are the days where you'd have 15 injections and, you know, Suarez would wear a pair of boots or whatever and they just get on with it. You know, they probably are overcautious at times. And I think Klopp's hinted in the past, hasn't he, that he has a few frustrations with them.
Yeah, I think he's kind of kept a lid on that quite well. But I'd imagine there are some times where the medical team are saying no, and then he's probably exasperated by it. But what can you do? I'm not really sure whether you can overrule them or what. But I suppose this is why players are generally playing longer now, as opposed to 15, 20 years ago, where the retirement age tended to be sort of early 30s, didn't it? Now they're playing mid to late 30s more often than that, and that maybe is down to being looked after a lot better.
I mean, what I would say on that, two things. One, they haven't quite gone back to the Peter Brookner, wasn't it? Era where basically he was picking the team under Rodgson for certain games, certainly the Europa League. I think it was a home game against Utrecht. There was a story where they were thinking it's got to be Torres and Reina and all them starting.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that they didn't. And Hodgson just, I'm pretty sure he just threw Brookner under the bus. So when the medical team said the good play.
Didn't sound like Hodgson.
Well, I might have misquoted him there. But going back to what you were saying then about Klopp listening to the medical department, it's quite funny. You hear people say, you know, oh, we rushed him back too early. No one ever says, well, we brought him back too late.
Yeah.
You know, you never ever get that. So you only see one side of it. So. Yeah. I mean, I've written something which is available for reading on the Liverpool Echo website and in the newspaper tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. And on the app.
And on the app, yeah.
And on the app. Someone has commented, but again, I'll just use that as a... Someone has commented, Martin Hartley, thank you for commenting, saying he's enjoying the Echo app. And yeah, I mean, as I said before, we would say this, but it is really good, the LFC Echo app. There's a paid-for version and a free version, but
Are we allowed to say the Liverpool Echo FC app, it's better to use than the website?
Yeah, you can say that. I think subscribe, it massively supports us. So, yeah, and it is really good. It is really good. We all use it. And
you've written something for it.
I completely forgot what I was about to say then.
Yeah.
Talking about hamstring injuries, I think Liverpool have had 8 or 9 separate players have gotten picked up hamstring injuries this season. We're pretty sure that Thiago, even though Klopp's not mentioned it by name, that he's picked up a hamstring injury. He says it's not a serious one, but it's still one. Mm-hmm. I think the most serious one they've had this season, hamstring, is Jota, who was out for 8 games, wasn't he, December. The rest of them have been like 2, 3, possibly 4 games. Yeah. But it all adds up, and it's a bit of a throwback to Klopp's first season when they were all getting used to running around a lot. And I think it's interesting that he thinks this is a brand new team and that, again, they're having to go through the same process. So by the end of the season, the point I'm making is that they'll probably be accustomed to it. And whoever comes in, they're not going to play anywhere near as intense as they were under Jurgen Klopp, unless I can't imagine anyone would do that. Mm-hmm. But the players will be super fit, so that'll be good for them to, you know, come just general fitness. I mean, so they'll be used to that kind of level of fitness. So whoever the new manager is that comes in, they're going to get a load of fit players.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's go through some of the specific injuries. Of course, the Szoboszlai seems to be potentially the most complicated one. Klopp was talked about him in the press conference. I was quite confused because he sort of said, like, he's outside running. Then he sort of said, you know, he could come back here, but he might come back there, and he might miss the cup final, but he might not. But it's just, he said he's in no pain, didn't he? So it's just quite a complicated one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much I can divulge because it's before the kind of 10:30 embargo, but Klopp was speaking about him in the breakout. And you're right, he did say he feels fine. And, you know, if you asked him, he'd say he'd kind of put himself in the team for Brentford, but obviously, he doesn't have the final say. He being Szoboszlai and they are monitoring it. And he hinted in the open press conference that he doesn't know if he's going to be fit enough for the Carabao Cup final, doesn't he? Which would be a significant blow. I think if it's a case of wrapping him in cotton wool for that game, I think Liverpool would have to do it, given his importance to the midfield. I imagine he'd be able to get by without them tomorrow, and then after that, is it
Brentford away?
Brentford away.
Then Luton.
The Luton game is after that, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, the Brentford away will be tough. Maybe with a full week of training, he will be clear for that one, but we'll see. But yeah, I think Liverpool, you know, he's not quite at the level he was at sort of September, October time, but they've still missed him. I thought he was good against Chelsea. Yeah, I thought they all were, really. And he was missed at Arsenal.
Yeah, he has a presence to Liverpool's midfield. I think it says a lot, like Gorsy's just said. I don't think he was at the same level as he was at the start of the season, but I think you do notice, it's noticeable when he's not playing.
Well, he got an assist against Norwich when he came on a sub and then scored against Chelsea, so you could argue that he's benefited. The argument was, to a certain degree, that he might benefit from the rest because he looked a bit tired, didn't he, when he got injured, which is presumably why he got injured. Because Liverpool just, he'd done that well, that Liverpool just stuck with him. Yeah, he does add a presence, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because in his absence, the Liverpool haven't really found somebody to play in that role on the right. I mean, you could argue that Curtis Jones could play there, but he's not been able to because Endo's not been there at number six. So McAllister had to play there, and Jones has done really well on the left. So why would you move him, kind of thing? So there is that. In fact, Jones did play there against Fulham, didn't he? In the first leg of the League Cup and scored. So again, I know it was a deflection, but I don't think that had any impact on the goal, his position. But yeah, I think Szoboszlai's done better than people expected, and I think if he isn't fit for the final, it would be very big. It's a very big call to say who's going to be playing there in that position.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, and Mohamed Salah's injury, Klopp again said in his press conference that if you ask Mo, he'll be back for next week. But again, it might be pushing to the final again. Do you think that's just a case of Liverpool being really careful?
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You know, he's really injured, so you want to manage it carefully and hope that it's not the start of a raft of injuries, particularly for that sort of player. You know, fast twitch muscles and hamstring issues tend to go hand in hand, don't they? Michael Owen suffered with that for years. So, yeah, we'll see. But he's missed 6 weeks now, hasn't he, Salah? No, his last game was Newcastle.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was involved for Egypt, but, you know, he's going to miss tomorrow. The next game after that will be 16th of February, is it? Which is over 6 weeks, isn't it?
17th.
So, yeah, a little bit of a worry. I think he said the hope is that he's back in team training next week. And with a full week of training, I think it'll be the last full week of training, really, you know, unimpeded by a midweek fixture. I think that's a real chance that Liverpool have to take, however they can do it, to rest up the likes of Salah and Szoboszlai and get them fit and ready for what's to come. Because after the Brentford game, you know, you're looking at Luton midweek, Carabao Cup final, FA Cup, Premier League, Europa League's back on the agenda. It's pretty much full pelt then, isn't it, until the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it says a lot, doesn't it, that, say, Salah's been out for 6 weeks. And I don't think you haven't seen a lot made of that outside the Liverpool circles.
Because they haven't been losing until the game against Arsenal.
I accept
and
that.
You only ever get kind of that kind of analysis if something goes wrong.
But I accept that. But there was a lot of talk of Erling Haaland, who suffered an injury and was sort of in and out, wasn't he? And hasn't really been truly back for Man City. So I do feel like, I still feel like people are sort of disregarding some of the problems Liverpool have had to put up with this season.
Well, again, that's because when Haaland dropped out of the team at City first off, they kind of wobbled a little bit, didn't they? Mm. And Liverpool just didn't do that. They've only wobbled right now. And even then, losing your second hardest game of the season can't exactly be called a wobble.
No.
Basically, they haven't replaced him, have they? Mm-hmm. Because they tried Harvey Elliott there for a couple of games. Yeah. They tried Gakpo there. They tried Jota there. Diaz started one game there.
Yeah.
Which one was that? That was away somewhere, wasn't it?
Was it Arsenal?
See him. Arsenal Cup. That's right, yeah. So
certainly in the second half.
There's four of them that played there. I think he's missed seven games. Is it now, Salah?
Mm.
I think so. It's going to be eight. I mean, we'll pick our team later on. Again, it'll be interesting to see who's going to play on the right.
So they've never really had a plan for him, have they, really, which is, I mean, they've done well. I mean, they've done very well, to be fair. I'm not overly criticising them, but you've just mentioned there was no real plan for Salah's absence, even though they knew it was happening.
I think a couple of the games is when Conor Bradley came in and played really well, and I think he ended up being both, because he was a wing-back, wasn't he, at Bolton for a whole of last season. I think they just probably said to him, here, get us off forward as often as you can and try and get the crosses in, whereas Trent has been going into midfield and playing a bit deeper when he's been playing at right-back, and so has Gomez as well. Mm. So maybe that's helped. And obviously, Conor Bradley didn't play against Arsenal for obvious reasons, and you had a half-fit Trent, and it all contributes, doesn't it?
I think the forward line's pretty good, you say that, but Diaz has played on the right and played pretty well, and then the following game struggled, so they moved him back to the left. We've seen Nunez start on the left, play really well, struggle, then they've moved him back to the centre, and I think there just hasn't been the consistency among the three of them to keep them in a certain position.
I mean, in the Chelsea game, I'm not sure who was meant to be on the right. I mean, it didn't matter. It worked, and they absolutely battered them, but it was very fluid, wasn't it? I couldn't tell whether it was Jota or Nunez. Diaz was definitely on the left, but felt like just like Conor Bradley was just given that.
But I think that can be a double-edged sword, can't it? Because it's when it works, like the Chelsea game, it's great because they can interchange, it's fluid. It created space for Bradley. But the Arsenal game, I felt like the times it looked like players were missing because there were gaps.
So, I mean, Arsenal much better defensively as well than Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, don't forget, on the right side, Graven Birch played in the midfield and didn't have a particularly great game. Mm. So again, that's another miss for Szoboszlai.
Thiago then, let's have a little talk about Thiago. I mean, he's somebody who has had, let's face it, a horrific time with injuries in the past. Well, really, pretty much his whole Liverpool career. He got COVID, didn't he?
Four times.
He got COVID and then got injured against Everton.
And you know, any time we've seen him sort of starting to play well, he's had a setback. Talk about cup finals, he pulled out in the warm up with the Carabao, the FA.
Yeah.
The Carabao, and then almost pulled out the Champions League final and probably didn't play as well.
Painkiller injection in his foot.
Because of that. Someone said here, and I kind of agree with them, is this a big reason why Liverpool should never have bought him in the first place?
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with it. I think the upside of Thiago is you're getting what Liverpool thought at the time, quite fairly, was one of the best midfielders in Europe at a bit of a knockdown price, an opportunistic deal which kind of broke away from the traditional model that the club and the owners usually favour, don't they? You know, that they prefer a certain age range between 22 and 25, certain amounts of appearances between 150-200, certain price range. But this was a 29-year-old Champions League winner who'd only ever played for Barcelona and Bayern Munich, and he was coming into a Liverpool team who were Premier League champions and had won the Champions League the year before. So it was kind of, you know, a little sprinkling of extra on top of what they already had. But I think he was a victim of circumstance in terms of that season, with it being behind closed doors, with you know, the injuries to the defenders had a knock-on effect of the midfield, and injuries, you know, to himself in that first season. I remember him getting injured at Everton, and then we didn't see him again for nearly 3 months.
Yeah,
started to pick up a bit of form and was really good in the spring. 2 years ago in the spring, he was phenomenal. I thought, you know, that kind of running, you know, looking at the Champions League semi-finals, quarter-finals, FA Cup semi-finals, that game against United. Just brilliant, really, around that time. But since then, we haven't really seen anywhere near that sort of form. And, you know, it wasn't all his fault last season. Brilliant player when he was fit, but that when is pretty much in capitals, isn't it? And Liverpool have kind of cracked on without him this season. I suppose the good news from a Liverpool perspective is this injury setback isn't one to a player who's been contributing, well, not even, you know, contributing anything to you, just fit. So it's not the end of the world from their perspective, but it could quite well be the end of his Liverpool career.
What have you made of his Liverpool career, Doyle?
I haven't really had a problem with it, to be honest. Mm. Not really. They paid, what was it, 27 million for him?
25.
25, yeah. So even cheaper than I thought. So 25 million, got nearly 100 appearances. I don't think he's going to play again this season, I don't think, anyway. If he is, then he's not going to play much. And if he does play, it'll be because Liverpool have kind of lost the way a little bit, yeah. I suspect.
I think the time has gone for
something else. So, well, played nearly 100 games, and all the reasons that Gorsy just said about his great games that he had. I mean, when he was good, he was really good. Mm-hmm. And I think we also forget the impact that he's had on all the other players around him, certainly in training and stuff like that. He's really popular at the AXA. And as for somebody who's played for Barcelona, Bayern Munich, his dad won the World Cup, he played for Spain, obviously. I think that he's just somebody, I think they'll miss it when he goes, and he's definitely going to go at the end of the season. They don't want to give him a new deal. And I don't think anybody, you won't complain about that. I don't think any Liverpool fan will either. They'll just think, rather than being a bad move, it's a move that, bit of a missed opportunity in the sense that you're going to think, no matter what he does, you're going to think, well, what might have been had he been available more often?
It was opportunistic. Sometimes he don't come off, do they? I wrote something yesterday about him, which you can also read on our award-winning app.
That's one of the awards,
It's just the cleanest app. cleanest bit of stat. And Liverpool play, you know, his last start was actually a year to the day, wasn't it, when he came back on Sunday. Mm-hmm. His last start was against Wolves. And Liverpool played over 5,000 minutes since that game, and he's featured in 101 of them. So just show, it's not even this season, it was towards the back end of last season. He obviously brought forward a surgery, so he missed the last four games, I think. So he'd be fit and ready in time for this season, and that clearly hasn't backfired. You know, he could probably claim they brought it forward so he'd be fit in time for next season, and he'd probably still be sidelined. So, I don't think he's going to contribute significantly now, which is sad really, because I thought he could have just been someone who could have added a little bit of quality here or there just to steer games in the right direction, and I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
What I would say about Thiago very briefly is that while last season in January and February all the other players, most of them were flapping around and being absolutely rubbish, it was him. You know, it was him that was in the midfield just trying to hold the whole thing together. And he played 10, I think it was 10 starts in a row, and then he got injured. So basically, Liverpool's rubbishness at that time has killed Thiago's career.
I mean, let's face it, I don't think anyone complains about him when he's fit and playing. It's the frustrations of him not playing that is the issue. I mean, could you look at him, and I suppose, look, I've been frustrated with Thiago as anyone, but could you almost look at him as a bit of a Gary McAllister type signing, that sort of influence on some of the younger players, those sorts of moments where obviously McAllister had big, big moments in the derby and in the UEFA Cup final, that sort of thing, Barcelona. But he certainly, you know, you ask Steven Gerrard, people like that, he had a huge influence on their early careers. Could you sort of look at Thiago?
Well, that's what I was suggesting. Suggesting, which is easy for you to say before, about his impact around the training ground. Although I would like to just ask you whether you could verbalise your frustrations about Thiago, please, Joseph.
No, because we'll get kicked out of various podcasts.
We're already banned in the Middle East.
We want some of our listeners in Dubai and other areas that don't allow swear words to be able to listen to the pod. So, no, I won't. I mean, look, I suppose my frustration with Thiago was always when he came in, people have made their minds up that Liverpool were going to get better, and he was brilliant. And you know, you always hear this thing, frustrates, the Premier League isn't ready for Thiago.
Said that about any player, by the way. No one says it anymore.
But because they've been burnt with Keita and Thiago. But when he came in, you know, I think Wijnaldum was departing him, all right? So he didn't depart
he was going to, but he didn't.
Yeah. But at the time, you know, I thought Liverpool had a great midfield, and no one celebrated those players as much as this incoming new sexy signing in Thiago. And I thought it just sort of proved to me that players like Wijnaldum were worth their weight in gold. He was available, he was fit, he played. He wasn't particularly eye-catching sometimes, and he perhaps didn't pass the ball with as much class as Thiago. But he was a really vital cog in a great Liverpool machine. And same with Milner. You know, I think that you'd ask so many people who they preferred at Liverpool, Milner or Thiago, and I bet you so many people would say Thiago. Yeah. And I think Milner was so much more important. And look, it's not
hardly a controversial view.
But
That wasn't the pile I was fishing for there. Try again. No.
I told you I couldn't. Unsensitive, but maybe do the unsensitive version. He's got incredible quality, and some of his highs for Liverpool, the Man United home game, the 4-0, was it the semi-final, the FA Cup semi-final you mentioned earlier? You know, he was awesome, but I'm just so frustrated we didn't see that awesome so often, and I kind of think that Liverpool should have seen that coming. And maybe they did. Yeah. Maybe they thought, well, it's okay.
I might be wrong here, but I think this latest injury is maybe the straw that's broken the camel's back with a lot of fans with regards to...
Do you really think so? I just think people just think, you know, it's a bit unlucky. I think they already know he's going.
Yeah, I think it's just unfortunate. The club put out the video of him, didn't he? It was a Friday night, and he looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
Doing all these no-look finishes.
Didn't he today?
Yeah, and then... 2 days later, he's got another hamstring injury after about 5 minutes.
Maybe he gets a bit het up about things. He just needs to calm down, though. Given
it's
the
not like
he's
he played 70 or, you know, the Pilata kind of throw him in with half an hour to go. He played 5 minutes and now he's out.
Well, the time he was on the pitch, he managed to get injured. Liverpool conceded a goal and somebody got sent off. So
He also did a no-look pass and gave the ball away, and I wanted to put my fist through the screen because I just thought, no-look... I like that Firmino did it, but he did it when he was like on the goal line and there was no one round that he could turn his head and put the ball in. But I don't believe in no looks. I just think it's just showing off for showing off's sake.
That might have been
just looking in the right direction and passed the
ball. Have we got injured like that?
Yeah. No tippy-tappy football.
So I think he got caught too much. He was trying to pass
it around. Forget them. That pass on to Messi. Rubbish.
That's the name of the podcast. But I've lost my way here. But yeah, Thiago, frustrating. Very frustrating for all concerned. But were you going to say something, Gorsty?
No, I was just going to say, I don't need to be speculating, but I think he tried to pass to Robertson and got caught in two minds, didn't he? Either playing the sideways or playing the forward and then just give it away.
So it wasn't like an unlucky thing, you just sort of hesitated.
Yeah.
Look at that, he's terrible. Stop picking on him.
Maybe I'm picking on him.
Well, what about Sage? It's not really for supporters to bother themselves with it. It winds up when supporters start talking like this, but... His wages, once he leaves, he's one of the highest earners at the club, so that theoretically could free up a decent wage for a durable midfielder who's going to play 40 times a season for you.
Yeah, it feels like Liverpool is never ending this search to strengthen the midfield, but when he does leave, they might have to strengthen it again. They will at least have a bit
there's,
more money.
There's no
to
such
it.
Thing as a perfect squad, so there's always room for improvement.
Wise words from a.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, were you ever worried about Thiago? In the same way you were about Keita, long-term pod listeners will know.
I suppose I have been. I'm actually a little bit worried about Gravenberch, but that's a debate for another day.
It is.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Anfield, tomorrow, Gorsty, the Liverpool Council, Liverpool City Council tweeted earlier to say that they've given Liverpool the green light. It's official. It will be at 60, just over 60,000, yeah. A record capacity. So exciting for Liverpool to finally... move towards that, and still not finished either.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting a while for this one, haven't we? We thought it was going to be
Bournemouth.
Yeah, and Liverpool actually requested to play their first game of the season away, so they could have extra time to to sort it out. Yeah, and obviously the contractors going into administration over the summer was an unwelcome addition to the storyline, wasn't it? Liverpool have been working hard to get it all done, and to be fair, it's looked good, but you can't escape the big row of empty seats that have been there for the last sort of 2 months now, maybe, since the United game, which was mid-December. So we're looking forward to seeing it all packed out tomorrow. The biggest league crowd I think they've ever had, 60,000 and something.
729, is it?
Something that many. Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's got to play a part, I think, at some stage. Maybe it's going to be a Europa League semi-final or something like that. But that additional noise has to have an impact at some point. I don't think it'll be tomorrow. I think tomorrow might just be a little bit of a bit worried about tomorrow, actually, atmosphere-wise, because sometimes it's a bit of a chicken and egg thing, isn't it? And kind of sleepy 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday against relegation fodder doesn't usually lend itself to a great atmosphere, you'd have to say. But at some point, 60,000 people at Anfield will make a big difference. And maybe against Man City, you know, we'll see. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what it's all about tomorrow.
I look at Anfield and think, got some friends. I've got a friend actually coming over for the game tomorrow. He's bringing his little boy over, and I'm just so proud of Anfield now. You know, I think when I was growing up, and you know, it wasn't the most modern looking or impressive stadium. Certainly, if someone was travelling over for a game and they'd never been before, or they haven't been in a long time, I don't think it was that impressive. But you walk them around now, and it just, the area looks amazing. The inside the ground, I think, looks really modern, and I love what they've done to it. And I think probably one of the biggest masterstrokes in Liverpool's history not to leave the ground and to stay there. You've been going a very long time.
I was going to say, when I first started going, they just brought in colour television and yeah, that kind of thing.
So we knew how to go on Everton blind there.
Yeah. Play them blue.
Yeah, when is that going? More than 40 years ago now, so it is a long time ago. Yeah, the ground's completely different. I think all of the stands are gone since then. I mean, the Anfield Road end's been rebuilt twice. This will be the second rebuild. Cop's been done once, the main stand obviously once, and they put the extra tier on top of the old Kembley, which became Centini, which is now the Sir Kenny Dalglish stand. So it is different. Pictures stayed the same.
Yeah.
Pictures stayed the same, which I know sounds a ridiculous thing to say, but it's quite an important part of the way Liverpool play and have always played. It's actually one of the smallest pitches in the Premier League, so that helps them. 60,000. I think they've only ever had more than 60,000 for two or three games ever. They were all FA Cup games.
Yeah.
And they're the 1950s, so even I don't remember them.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting. But going back to what you're saying about the whole area, when I first started going, it was like properly crammed in.
Yeah.
And going around the back of the Anfield Road end, I mean, even now I know how to get my way through a crowd, easily spot all the gaps, because you had to when you were about 8 or 9 years old, and it's like, oh, otherwise you'd be lost, and you know, under all these people. So it's totally different. Although I would like to say it is a bit windy now that it's all open, because it's basically on top of a hill. And I know Klopp's mentioned a lot about the enemy of football, and have we noticed it as much since they built this new stand? I don't think it's been as bad as it used to be.
What, the wind and the rain? No.
I know it sounds a ridiculous thing to talk about, but it has a massive impact on how they play the game. And I just don't think the wind's been anywhere near as bad when you consider how many storms they're having these days.
Yeah.
That obviously being the main thing that they've built the big stand for, to stop it being windy. Never mind all these people coming in the extra atmosphere.
Knock it all down, start again. We need to stop that wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it is impressive. I do think it shouldn't be understated how impressive Anfield looks now, because,
Look at Old Trafford and what United are doing.
Exactly. And for a lot of people, they might never go to a game, and you know, they might live abroad. But if you come over one time for a game, it's amazing to go and see it now and the way it looks. And
pretty much entertainment with the singers and the big screen and all that. Obviously, the big club megastore on the premises as well, not kind of in the city centre.
It feels like a destination now, and I don't think it always felt like that.
Mm. Also, it's next to a park. People forget it's next to a park as well, isn't it? Yeah. Which, it's funny, but we go to grounds like Fulham and you go, that's quite nice, by the Thames, and Bournemouth's in a park, and you just forget that Liverpool's in one. Well, Anfield is anyway.
Yeah,
I think it's testament to the owners, really, you know, for all the stick that they get. Some of it deserved, some of it not. They have put the money where the mouth is in terms of the main stand on the Anfield Road, haven't they, on top of the new training ground as well, which obviously we go to every week, and that is similar, you know, top level standards.
Yeah. And maybe we'll soon find out whether it really is the best ground in Liverpool.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, but it's an incredible place. So if you if you're listening and you ever do get the chance to go, you've never been.
Although the food in the press room could be better.
Well, that's another wind and food.
Okay.
You're a miserable old fella.
Wait a minute. The press food?
Yeah, it's hit and miss.
Hit and miss.
Arsenal back in the Champions League places for that. Chelsea, good, Tottenham, good Arsenal, and Man City.
That's the real quiz. Right, well, we'll pick our teams and do some score predictions. Before then, someone's again asked for the nine players, so I will. We'll go back through them again. Gorsi, take it away.
So, Thiago, Salah, Szoboszlai, Bacsetic, Doak, Tsimikas, Konate.
Bradley. Who's the other one?
We forgot it already. Go through them again.
Tsimikas, Bradley, Konate, Szoboszlai, Bacsetic, Thiago, Matip.
Yeah.
I forgot what you just said. But there is nine.
We've just named nine players. Yeah, they're all injured.
They're all injured. And there could be more.
Yeah, so in a tent, the mystery...
Gomez missed blue shot. He's probably a little bit of a stipple.
Yeah. So, in that, with that in your mind, pick a team. Let's start with you, Doyle.
Adrian, no. Alisson.
It could be Adrian.
He could play somewhere else. It's going to have to be Trent at right back. Even though I hope he's got a bit more energy in his legs than he had at Arsenal. In fact, he looks as though he had about as much energy as we had when we spotted the KFC was shut on the way home, which was a devastating blow after a tough day.
I think sometimes with Trent, he tries to sort of slow things down and not let the pace of the game kind of get to him, and then ends up looking quite casual.
I just think he was just not quite ready to play, I don't think. Centre-backs, Van Dijk and Quansah. Yeah. And left back, if Gomez isn't fit, you put in Robertson. But if Gomez is fit, you play him.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this might be a good chance for Robertson to get a first start. Actually, he obviously hasn't started at all, has he, since Brighton, which was back in early October. Other than that, I'd go along with that. I think Trent suffered as well from being told to just play a more traditional fullback position. Yeah. He hasn't done that for, 9-10 months, as he showed. That obviously didn't help either, but hopefully with that full week of training, Klopp always puts so much stock in it, doesn't he? A full week without a fixture, so hopefully we see a fresher Alexander-Arnold playing the usual kind of inverted fullback role.
It is funny, isn't it, that if you'd said at the start of the season, Trent's just going to play an all right back role and Joe Gomez will be playing the inverted left back, Gomez has played so well. But I would, if he's fit, I would keep him in the team 100%.
Well, so would I, but if he's fit.
You play him centre back.
I would play him centre back. And I love what Quant has done this season. I think it's great, and I think this is a good opportunity for him. But I just think he's played so well, Gomez, that I wouldn't want to see him lose his place in the team. But for all that, I think we need to get Robson back in at some point.
At some point, yeah.
And this is a good time to get rhythm. They're going to see a lot of the ball. I would put Robson back in, perhaps play Gomez, Van Dijk and Trent. Your midfield, Gorsi?
Yeah, like to see Endo back in the number six, and that gives McAllister a chance to play a little bit further forward than his preferred number eight. I think McAllister's been superb in that position, actually, the last couple of weeks. I had my reservations over it, probably long-term I still do, but can't fault him as the number six in recent weeks. But I think Endo was one of the first names on the team sheet, weren't he, before he left for the Asia Cup. So play them both. And then on the left side, probably looking at Curtis Jones.
So you're playing McAllister off the right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I play McAllister on the left and put Curtis on the right. Because that's what I would like to do. For all the reasons that I explained earlier in this podcast. Yeah, okay. Yes. What I would say about Harvey Elliott, looks as though he's not really getting his games at the moment. And
That's fine, though.
But I thought when he came on against Chelsea, he was good.
He's been good all season, hasn't he? But...
Has he started three league games, I think? And the first cup game he didn't start was the... No, he didn't play against Norwich, did he? That's the first cup game he didn't start.
I can't remember now.
I think
it was 2 weeks ago.
It feels like it was a year ago. It does.
I think I would go Endo, McAllister. I think I probably would start Elliott.
That's interesting.
I think the midfield was a bit non-existent against Arsenal, which happens. They're away at Arsenal. I don't necessarily think we should make too much of that. But I think Jones had a great season. but maybe he just needs a breather, and you could bring in Elliott and get. I'd like to see McAllister on the left of that three, and then you can always bring Jones on for McAllister or Endo, move things around, so it gives you the option. But yeah, I probably would play Elliott again. I think Liverpool see a lot of the ball. He's good at unpicking things, isn't it, Elliott? Quite like he gives them that extra.
I think Elliott and Jones, they really give the ball away. Mm. Really give it away.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Up front?
Yeah, I'm going to take out Gakpo, bring in Nunes after another week. Hopefully that foot injury is shaken off. He's another one, actually. He wasn't totally fit, was he, against Arsenal? Yeah. I think you could tell that as well. It's just a question of where he plays. Possibly down the left, Jota through the middle, and Diaz on the right.
That's exactly what I would do.
Diaz on the left, because he's been Liverpool's best player over the last couple of weeks, and he's the best position, so he stays there. Dan Winnikus will play down the middle. The right, I thought Jota wasn't great against Arsenal until the second half, where he suddenly woke up like quite a few of the other players. I think Gakpo's been really unlucky this season. It's just he's got 9 goals, hasn't he? So he's not, and quite a few assists, so it's not as if he's not done anything. But I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, he's just not been able to find the right position because everybody else has played well, which is just, if you're the manager, that's what you want, great. Yeah. But if you're him, it's like, oh, well. So for all that, I'm not playing him, putting Jota on the right.
Yeah. I think this sort of game, Jota will get his little dirty 6-yard box tapping when he's just that sort of game. But yeah, I think you're right about Gakpo. Again, I quite like him, but it didn't really work out at Arsenal, but he was quite unlucky. And he just doesn't get in the team now. But like it's like with Elliott, that's fine. He doesn't get in the team because there's three other guys operating at quite a high level. That's what happens with good squads. Predictions?
Yeah, I think they've got to shrug off last week with a confident performance. But at home, they're usually really good at home, aren't they? So I'll go 3-0.
Yeah.
I think Burnley are actually better than the... Overall, they are better than their position suggests, but they just can't score, can they? Mm. I mean, actually quite watching them play, but then I would imagine you get really frustrated if you watch them all the time because they have all this nice passing, and then they get to the... the last third, and then they don't do anything. And then of all the teams, given where they played under years, often under Sean Dyche, actually, they're just not very good at defending set pieces, which is where I think Liverpool might get a bit of joy. I think Liverpool will win 3-0 or 3. I wouldn't be surprised if they nicked 1-3.
You just signed for Farner, haven't you, from Chelsea? Yeah, he scored. Did he get a couple against Fulham?
Well, there you go. Suddenly, they're back in it.
I think 3-1. I fancy them just to nick one and just, I could, like you said before, I could see that Anfield groan when they nick one and make it 2-1, and you think Liverpool get a third. Someone asking Magpie96 asking if Jota is one of the sick ones missing. Was he in the training photos?
I think he was, wasn't he?
I
was
off. I think so.
I think he was. If he wasn't, then I need to get the opticians immediately because I didn't spot him not being there. Yeah. I had visions of him being there. Well, then that was yesterday.
Yeah.
And we all know that you can get a cold in 24 hours.
You certainly can. Well, let's hope he's fit. Thank you so much for listening. Where can we find you, Paul Ghost?
On Twitter and Threads, which I'm still on. It's at PT Ghost.
And you're not a personal trainer?
No, certainly not.
Paul, but it always works.
Well, I'll be in the local later if you want to come in and have a pint. Yeah. But other than that, on Twitter and Threads at Ian Doyle Sport. Yeah. Also on Instagram, but for some reason, I can't have that one, and it's now Ian_Doyle_sport, which is why no one knows where I am. Actually, that's what my Threads one is as well.
Yeah.
So, just do a search for annoying Liverpool reports, and I'll come up with
it. Corner for Liverpool.
Corner for Liverpool. Anyway, we've started.
Clapper's gone.
And you'll find Ian Doyle. At JoeRimmer88 on Twitter. I am on Instagram, but it's private. And I'm not on
Threads. Sorry, can we see the other again? You're on Instagram. What is it?
And download the app. Give us a like. Please subscribe. Give us a like.
Is it an award-winning app, Joseph?
It isn't, but Ghosty gave it an award. Yeah. Before, it's won the Paul Ghost
Award. PT Ghost Award for giving me something to say when people have a moan about our website.
Instead of the Oscars, the polls.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite as good, does it?
Download our app. Listen to our pods there. Listen to them on YouTube. Listen to them on Facebook. Listen to them on Spotify.
You can watch them on YouTube as well.
You can watch them on YouTube. Give us a like. Subscribe. And thanks very much for listening. We'll be back on Monday to discuss Burnley and to look ahead to probably more injuries. It's always fun. Ta-ra.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.